Welcome everyone to the Friday night public discussion group of Perfecting Horizons Institute. We are on paper 47, section 4, which is old single column, page 534. All right. So we got the first of the seven mansion worlds last session. and that was a big section, you know, recall, as they were trying to get us up and rolling on thinking about this this sequence, obviously an ascending sequence. You know, the actual, you know, definitive beginning of your ascension career as you move up through these worlds. And remember how we left it, that we were wanting to try to keep our eye out for as much information on the logic of that sequence. You know, what's building? You know, it's, you know, like I just said, it's, you know, you're beginning an ascension. You know, in what sense can you begin to see what's happening as an ascent? I mean, you're moving up from what towards what, you know, and through what's a set of stages, you know. So that's the kind of information that they obviously can't give us anything very direct, because the precise doings are really beyond our comprehension. But we're it's not the disclosure of fact that we're fundamentally looking for. It's the revelation of truth. So we're trying to get our mind flowing through the material so that we can strike step with that flow of truth. All right, so let's just jump in and we'll see what they've got for us here.
Paper 47, section 4, the second mansion world. It is on this sphere that you are fully inducted into the Mansonia life. The groupings of the Marantia life begin to take form. Working groups and social organizations start to function. Communities take on formal proportions, and the advancing mortals inaugurate new social orders and governmental arrangements.
Okay, so you can see just with those initial few thoughts, they seem to be giving us information that probably is not just confined to this world. You can, you know, they're trying to get you, you know, they're just going to say it right here, and then they'll want you to project that through. As you advance through these worlds, for instance, the last item there, governmental arrangements. You're stepping into some governmental structure on these worlds. Initially, you know, especially in the first mansion world, you're obviously not going to have very much say about what's going on there. You know, in the big picture, you're not going to have anything to say, you know, and through all of them, you know, really. But as you become a more and more mature being, you can be governed in an ascending fashion. More liberty can naturally be present in the way you are governed as you move up through these worlds. And as they're saying, you're becoming more definitively moronchal all the time. So, you know, you can begin to have more and more of a genuine morancha social life. You know, and as I said up front, we don't know what that means literally in any way, but you know, this very different nature that you're moving into, you will be getting more and more like that as you move along, and so more and more opportunities to function in that, you know, with that nature. So, you know, they're going to mention at the end of this section, you know, kind of fundamentally why, but I'll just put it right up front here a little bit. Remember how they told you that in the previous one, you were post-Adamic. You know, in the first mansion world, you know, they were basically trying to set up a society that has a post-Adamic quality to it. You are Marantia, not a material identity, so it's not exactly the same. Remember how they mentioned that? But nonetheless, they gave you that fact. It's like, well, okay, so what's happening post-Adam and Eve on a world? You know, you've got biologic uplift and the blending of the races. So those basic biologic issues, even though you don't literally have material biology there, it's carrying forward, in truth, those basic biologic issues have been left behind in terms of really getting rid of the crude problems in that regard. And so now, upon that more sound individuality foundation, you can work more definitively on the associativity, you know, on the intellectual, you know, and you see it right here. I mean, what do they tell you? You know, social organizations start to function. And see, so it's just an obvious logical thing, you know, what they tell you when you see the pattern that's developing. Communities take on formal proportions because you are more definitively of a Marantia form, right? Like we were saying. Okay, so you can see that the basic things that they say, if you just reflect them on them a little bit, in the fullness of your recognition, you could have predicted those statements. You know, what's going to follow individuality? Well, it's going to be associativity, obviously. In a new way. But at the same time, it's not like you leave all individuality issues behind on the first mansion world. It's not like you're going to leave, you know, you're going to be totally complete with all the associativity issues after you're done with the second mansion world. This is just all very relative. We all know that the very definitive level for dealing with social evolution, development, is at the constellation level, right? So, this is just a very rudimentary beginning. In a relative sense, it's, like I said, it's bringing in a new potential of associativity, and you're going to work on that, and then there'll be ever greater potentials for associativity going on from this. All right, what else do they tell you?
Spirit-fused survivors occupy the mansion worlds in common with the adjuster-fused ascending mortals. While the various orders of celestial life differ, they are all friendly and fraternal. In all the worlds of ascension, you will find nothing comparable to human intolerance and the discriminations of inconsiderate caste systems.
Okay, so those difficult individuality differences and then the socialization that we try to have in the presence of those a lot of those were left behind on the nativity sphere, like they're pointing out. I mean, in this life, you don't serve two masters anymore. So the very rudimentary animal origin issues of human intolerance and discrimination of inconsiderate caste systems, I mean, so much of that is just purely because your mind is attuned to your material genetics, and you leave that behind by fiat when you die, on your nativity world. So like they're saying, see, in all the worlds, including the first mansion world, you will find nothing comparable. So, but there definitely were less temporal, less ephemeral, individuality issues, like I said, that you did have to deal with on the first mansion world. Just not those very rudimentary other master sorts of issues.
Why do you suppose they started that paragraph off with spirit-fused survivors, and then they go on to talk about...
Yeah, I was just going to get to that. Yep. So the other part of that, as she was just pointing out, is a comment about, who are you socializing with? And they're just, just in passing, just little kind of bullet points. They're reminding you that you're beginning to socialize with various orders of celestial life, of all sorts of different flavors. So this is a challenge of relating to, the nature of this individual in contrast to relating to the nature of this individual and all those issues. Not unlike the difference between the races on a nativity world and their fundamental intellectual differences. These beings have distinct intellectual differences because of the energy nature that their mind is seated on. It gives them a different temperament, just fundamentally because of their nature. And then, of course, you're beginning to have more personality, and so there's a uniqueness of personality, begins to play into socialization a lot more. It's not just bloodline differences sorts of stuff, and then they're reminding you of the spirit fusers, because, they're not just spirit fusers. When they were resurrected on the first mansion world, they became spirit fused mortals. Those mortals are fused with that fragment of the creative mother spirit right when they started on the first mansion world. So they're reminding you of that little twist. That it may be several mansion worlds, or even very much longer, before you fuse, but right away you're going to be interacting with fellow, mortal ascenders who have fused, in a different fashion, relative to the cosmos. They have a different relationship with the cosmos in you that, in some ways, puts them ahead of you. They can fuse right away, and you've got a long schlag ahead of you still, to get that synchronized with the cosmos. So you may not have thought about that, because we always have a tendency to sort of look down on the spirit fusers, being father fusers, just the way we are, so self-centered in our perspective. But they have some things to teach you right away about what you're going to need to do to get diffusion. They are by nature, what you're striving to do in several ways, and so you can use them in analogy, to kind of set your sights on your first goal of getting diffusion.
Basically, mortals from planets such as Urantia, it's up till the fifth or the sixth mansion world before we actually fuse, normally speaking, somewhere around there.
We'll get
but
to that.
It's primarily there's also one of the reasons why is because we come from such a confused planet, and does that play at all in the period of time that it takes us to fuse? And the last part of the question is, does that mean that the spirit fuser worlds have none of them took part in the rebellion?
We don't know, about who all what worlds joined the rebellion. We can't say anything about that. But
there's no hesitation here; they're fused immediately.
Right, but see again, let me just explain that a little bit. Why can they fuse immediately? That synchronization that they need to be able to fuse is there by grace when they became a human in the first place on their nativity sphere. That initial encirclement in the Holy Spirit and the initial measure of spiritualized mind that they have, that we all have by grace, who gave that to you? The creative mother spirit, right? It's a starting point that's like her. It immediately could fuse, with a fragment of her, the spirit fragment of her. Right? I mean, when you wake up in the first mansion world, you could fuse with a spirit fragment of the creative mother spirit. But they don't fuse you with a fragment of the creative mother spirit, because you're destined to fuse with your thought adjuster. But every mortal coming off of a world, whether they're a father fuser world or a spirit fuser world, you know, could fuse with a spirit fragment. We could be fused with a spirit fragment of the creator spirit on the first imagined world. Right? I mean, technically, you could be fused with it at roughly age six. Right? You just, you know, you have that by grace. You know, it's like, well, how could that be? Remember, that initial thread of encirclement is a supreme thread. It's not some lowly, finite thread. Your initial thread of cosmic nature is a supreme thread. Okay. So, it's, you know, it's just a, you know, a simple issue of you know, whether or not that's what your destiny is or not. You know, and ours isn't, so we aren't fused with the spirit fragment. You know, there's a place in the adjuster papers that kind of refers to that issue about you know, what you're synchronizing with to, you know, to be a sun fuser or a spirit fuser or a father fuser. But anyway, I just, the point is just, you know, the first paragraph sets you up. You know, the thing that you have in your mind is they want you to think about your social, your beginning as some definitive socialization. You know, and it's like, well, with whom? You know, and so they give you a little reminder of the cast of characters around you, including you might be very interested to socialize with those spirit fusers, like I was saying, to sort of leverage off of them, use them as a further catalyst for your growth. By interacting with them, they're going to be helping you move towards fusion. Okay? All right, let's see, I think, yeah, let's keep going here.
As you ascend the mansion worlds one by one, they become more crowded with the Morontia activities of advancing survivors. As you go forward, you will recognize more and more of the Jerusalem features added to the mansion worlds. The Sea of Glass makes its appearance on the second Mansonia.
Okay, so there isn't, you know, one of those giant crystals on the first mansion world. So, you know, when transport seraphim are landing on the first mansion world, it's just like when they're landing on a nativity world. And it's without a sea of glass, and we really don't understand what the difference is between the two, but, you know, there it is. But it reminds you of, you know, how much that first mansion world is like a nativity world. And it doesn't have a sea of glass. It doesn't have that very definitive, not evolutionary fact, you know, of the structure of the world. There's a giant, this giant crystal thing built into it, right? Right. So, you know, just everything seems to be logical here as we reflect on it. That whole bit about, as you go from one to the next, they become more crowded with the Morontia activities of advancing survivors. Just reminding you again that you're trying to get up to speed and to have some fullness of Morontia nature. As they point out later in this paper, you know, yeah, you have a Morontia body in the first mansion world. But it's a difference from a material body, almost in name only. Right? It is so material-like. You are so still like you were. You can't even remotely begin to consciousize the local universe tongue, say. You know, so they have to have that nativity sphere-like language. You know, the tongue of Satania in our case. In, you know, for, that you can consciousize to communicate with others. You start out, you know, very much like we are here. And you can't really do the Morontia activities. You know, you have to just sit on the sign lines and wait until you are, you know, you mature enough to really participate in those activities. You can't synchronize with them. Let's see. You know, and not only, when they're mentioning, you'll see more and more of the Jerusalem features. You know, not only are the worlds, like they're saying directly, they're starting to have things that are on Jerusalem, but when you go to Jerusalem, you can actually experience more things there. You know, those first times you're going to Gerizim, it's going to be a very limited experiential environment for you. It's just not going to be a lot going on that you'll be able to, you know, strike step with. You just sort of watch and wonder what's going on. And you know, there's probably a whole bunch of things you can't even really, get any input from. I mean, you know, you don't even have any sort of sensory recognition that that those things are even there, right? You know, they'd just be invisible to you to begin with. You know, so each time you go there, it's like, whoa, they changed everything. No, it's the same as it was last time. It's just now you can see the stuff that you couldn't see before and that sort of thing. All right. Okay, keep going here.
A newly developed and suitably adjusted Marantia body is acquired at the time of each advance from one mansion world to another. You go to sleep with a seraphic transport and awake with a new but undeveloped body in the resurrection halls, much as when you first arrived on mansion world number one, except that the thought adjuster does not leave you during these transit sleeps between the mansion worlds. Your personality remains intact after you once pass from the evolutionary worlds to the initial mansion world.
Okay, so a little bit more. We've talked about this some. They're reminding you that very definitively, as you are resurrected on each of the mansion worlds, it is literally that, a resurrection. You are alive again subsequent to a death. Okay. I mean, you technically die, prior to each mansion, being starting up your life on a new mansion world. I mean, and they're pointing out some of the details here. So I'm on the first mansion world. I've completed it. I get into the seraphic transport. You know, I'm in that transport slumber. The adjuster, though, is still plugged into me. Is still connected with me, like they're just saying there, and with me through the transport, but they don't just wake me up and off I run. I mean when I get there, the adjuster unplugs, so I die, because you remember your animation right now, there's life animation that is associated with my material body. It makes it living matter. I mean, fundamentally, the animation of your Marantia body is because the adjuster plugs itself in and animates it. Right? It's like, well, why does the adjuster have to unplug it? Because, they literally have to build a new body, like they're just saying. They have to build a new, totally new body for you. Put your soul, that Marantia brain, into that new body. Right? The soul has to be inanimate and everything when they're doing this operation. Right, so the adjuster unplugs and you die, right? And they put your soul into this new body, and then the adjuster plugs back in again, and now you're animated again. Yep.
One thing I can't quite grasp.
Yeah.
He calls this an undeveloped body. Just
right.
So,
right.
It's not. Somehow it's new, but. And it'll be adult size, I presume.
Right, right.
What kind of development does it need?
Right, so, your growth, right? I mean, as you grow, as you are grown on each of these worlds, your body morphs.
Yeah.
The form of your body changes with that growth. It develops. Remember, more and more, right now, there's a little bit of change of my body as my mind matures. But there it's, the two go very much hand in hand. And so that body has a certain measure of variability built into it. And it starts out, unmodified, fully, potential for all the change that it has. And you max out all of that variability on that mansion world, and that's why you have to get a new body, because that one has reached its limits, its elastic limits. You can't stretch it anymore, you can't morph it anymore.
I always wondered if the reason people didn't recognize Jesus over really a pretty short amount of time in his life here was because of his so much change, and maybe
well, with Jesus,
psychic circles.
You remember, with Jesus, it's a big thing. I mean, Jesus has a maracha body when he's resurrected.
Resurrection, though. During his life, people didn't.
There's that, right?
Because I felt like he made the psychic circles so quick.
It
changed.
Right, like I said, I mean, the way your body manifests to others does change between you being a seventh circler and you being a third circler, right? It's not that you, don't have the basic same DNA and whatnot, but your DNA has variability, your body is built with variability as well, and your genotype doesn't change, but your phenotype does change, as you ascend those cosmic levels, right? So, just literally the way your body, comes off when people experience you is significantly different, so that they didn't really recognize that they were the same individuals. But it's very much so there. And I was just going to bring up, remember with when he's resurrected and he has a Maranja body. I mean, there's a whole bunch of mystery there. I mean, he's got some sort of Maranja body, and the master physical controllers are just making him visible to people, what the comparison is between, I mean, obviously they would need to try to make him somewhat similar to what the material Jesus looked like, in terms of this sort of fake, corporeal presentation that master physical controllers are doing. It's not totally arbitrary, because just like you were saying, there is a degree to which you are on the outside as you are on the inside. So, they are still staying true to that to a degree. So when they manifest something that can be seen by material eyes, it's stemming from the same self. It's not a different self. It's the same Jesus self. So that just logically, it wouldn't be radically different. But the thing we don't know is, did they tweak it a little bit so it wasn't, so it was close enough that, once he started interacting with him, yes, it is, it is you. If I died and was resurrected and looked like you when I woke up, it might be pretty tough for someone to put two and two together and really believe that I was still Jesus, it would have to be somewhat similar, you would think.
On the mansion worlds, technically, do you know how that works with the thought adjuster then unplugging, since your soul was part of the thought adjuster?
When we get to that world where you're fusing, we'll talk about that. Yeah, that's coming up. I'm going to jump the gun on that. Just this, some more of this technical issue. So you've just, they'll talk about at the end of this paper that going forward from Gerasim, it's different. You don't have to literally die when you get these changes made to your body so that it has a newfound variability that it didn't have before. But here, you literally have to die. That old body is just unraveled back into raw materials, and they literally are building you a new body and taking your soul out of the old body, that Maranja brain, putting it in a new one. The fact that they literally have to do that, shifting the soul from one body to another, that's why you have to be dead. You have to be inanimate, when they're doing that.
So these shifts must be really dramatic.
Right.
From world to world.
Right. So there's this big step function, right? You wake up, whoa! Quite different than you were in the previous mansion world. It won't be a total surprise, because you will have seen people from the other mansion worlds when you visited Gerasim, so you know what to expect a little bit. But still, I'm sure it's pretty startling and exciting, to see what you look like as a second mansion world, ascender. This is the new and improved me. To see what kind you know, what it looks like when you upgrade your potential, not other people's potential, but your potential. Because you notice how it says it's not just a newly developed and suitably adjusted Maranja body. Right? I mean, that body is tuned so that your soul can go into it. So it's just an extension of your soul, really, you know, in terms of its form. All right, let's see. What else do we have there? Let's see. Oh, yeah, the last little bit. Yeah, so your personality remains intact after you once pass from the evolutionary worlds to the initial mansion world. What are they getting at there? Unlike going from mansion world to mansion world, going from your nativity world to the first mansion world, remember, your personality right now is identified with your adjutant, mind or self. And then the first mansion world is identified with, you know, the Maranja self. So, you know, that, you know, it's identified with that same, with, you know, with the same selfhood, Maranja self, from mansion world to mansion world. So you don't have, you know, your personality remains intact, is what they mean by that. See, it's not changing identifications. But going from here to the first mansion world, you know, you're really burning bridges. You know, that other self that's with you right now, that Maranja self that's not personal right now, that's the self that's resurrected on the first mansion world. And that's the self that now feels that influence from eternity that the self you're thinking with right now feels. Yeah, so that's a, you know, the first one is a very big step. And you know, the fact that you can see how there's a first step is a lot bigger than the second step, you know, extrapolate that. Like I said, you know, think about a trends. You know, there's bound to be, the steps are less severe, or whatever word you want to use, stark. You know, as you're, you know, it's like you're settling in, sort of, you know, to a body that's going to carry you through the rest of the local universe career. You know, so if you think about sort of something that's like, you know, think about two converging, you know, funnel-like lines here, you know, that out of which comes that body that carries you from Gerasim to Salvington, you know, and you're sort of rattling back and forth between these converging lines, you know, as you go from mansion world to mansion world and kind of converge upon. So the initial one is very huge. And, you know, and then, you know, you're settling in. So in that sense, it wouldn't be as dramatic a change. But in a, that's kind of a, that's sort of more of a horizontal, convergence. You know, the vertical potentiality from body to body, you know, is increasing. Right? Your ability to go up with those new bodies is ever greater.
Logarithmically.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's you know, you have this geometric, you know, nature going, you know, going forward like that. You know, so that, in that sense, you know, the sort of the funnel is opening up as you go forward rather than converging in, because you need more and more potential to use your spirit pattern. You know, as you go forward, and as they'll point out, you know, your life on these worlds starts to take on some initial rudimentary spiritual nature as you get to the latter ones. It's so, you know, see, that's new nature that they're describing there. That's because something is opening up. I mean, you know, you're obviously some potential is expanding as you're going forward.
It's like your spirit's gaining traction.
Right. Yeah. Everything. Yeah. You're gaining traction in sort of in a vertical sense. You know, but you're trying to get yourself definitively focused in that horizontal sort of individuation sense. Get it all brought to a nice sharp focus, and then take that focused fact upward. Into an ever-expanding scope of potential. All right. All right, so what's the next thing here?
Your adjuster memory remains fully intact as you ascend the Morontia life. Those mental associations that were purely animalistic and wholly material naturally perished with the physical brain. But everything in your mental life, which was worthwhile and which had survival value, was counterparted by the adjuster and is retained as a part of personal memory all the way through the ascendant career. You will be conscious of all your worthwhile experiences as you advance from one mansion world to another, and from one section of the universe to another, even to paradise.
Okay, so they're reminding you of that one. You know, remember when we talked about the first mansion world? You know, they gave us that little reminder about what aspects of yourself were in which parts of what was being assembled. You know, what things were in the soul, what things the adjuster had possession of, right? You know, and remember, it's your adjuster that has the memory. You may not have thought this through, you know, but they try to remind you about the physical brain. You know, right now, your memories are in that physical brain, not in your mind. Memories are actually, you know, being stored in that physical brain in a physical way. Little reminder that memories need to be stored in one of the two natural substances. Right? If it's not physical substance, it needs to be, at least effectively, spirit substance. Right? So, the adjuster is where your memories are always going to be stored. You know, throughout your whole Morontia career, you have this Morontia mind, but when memories get saved from that mind, you know, there isn't, they aren't saved in that quote-unquote Morontia brain. See, so that soul is not an exact parallel to a physical brain. It reminds you that Morontia is, it's not as substantive, it's not as solid, quote-unquote, as matter and spirit substance. It's more like mind-made quasi-substance. And see, you can see this fact here, a little reminder that you're always going to be storing the memories in that adjuster. And once you fuse that adjuster, there's no way those memories can go anywhere. But see, you're dependent upon that. So think about these transitions from world to world. There's a little brief period of time when the adjuster is unplugged that there's things that are happening there that there's no way for memories to get stored. Right? But that's okay because technically, right, you're not animate. Right. Anyway, right, until the adjuster plugs in. So once you're animate and you'd like to maybe store a memory, you can. But that's when you think about how that's different than say a seraphim. A seraphim doesn't have an adjuster as a means for storing memories. You know, they've got some nature in their spirit energy body. There must be some sort of effective brain-like, you know, part of their body where memories are getting stored. You know, they are substance enough like in some way, right, that they can actually store their own memories. But until you have that spirit fragment that you're fused with, you have to have you're borrowing a hard drive to save your memories on. Yeah? So that's kind of an interesting thing to think about. And then just reminding you about the animal origin stuff there. And then notice how they made a point of using the worthwhile expression in that paragraph a couple times. every once in a while they want to do that, remind you of, you know, the word value is a spirit word. And when you think about downstepping that concept of value so that it's identified with individuality, that's what you mean by the word worth. You know, so like, you know, if you're thinking in just simple terms, you know, if you're talking about material issues, that the word is worth. If you're talking about spirit issues, the word is value. You know, and you can think of worth as a downstepped expression of value to identify with the individuality of the material nature. And then, you know, worthwhile, the word while indicates time. See, so there's that, you know, the individuality and the temporality. Value, you know, being a spirit thing is much more transcendent of time. You know, we always talk about how your spiritual consciousness really doesn't give any consideration to time, and that gets you into a lot of problems, you know, where you're forgetting about there's that temporal issue, you know, that's in play. You want it to all just be by fiat, independent of time, you know, with your spiritual consciousness. All right, so worthwhile, getting it down to individuality and synchronized with time. So they occasionally like to use that to just remind you of that downstepping. You know, and when they say, but everything in your mental life which was worthwhile and which had survival value, you know, what's the difference between value and survival value? Right? There's value in the whole of the finite, but have you taken a hold of that with your faith grasp, you know, with your personality grasping mechanism, and individuated it, brought it into relationship with time, you've made it worthwhile, you know? So it's this individuated value, it's now survival value. You know, when they say, but, you know, this, you know, everything which had survival value was counterparted, but not everything that had value was counterparted. You know, there's all the aspects of your life that really aren't you, but are just the evolution of the Supreme. You know, it's not your value, it doesn't get copied into your soul. It doesn't have any meaning for you. All those things of your life that are meaningless to you as an individual, because they're about the Supreme, not about you. Yeah, and you know, those have value and meaning relative to the Supreme, but not to you. So another way they talk about survival value is meaningful value. Right? Yeah, it's individuated. You know, in order for that value to produce meaning, you know, what meaning is the superadditive consequence of the relationship between things and values? Things are individuality, right? You have to bring individuality juxtaposed to that value, right, to actually get the superadditive consequence of meaning, right? It's those meaningful values, those individuated values that are saved in the soul. The rest is not really you. The rest is just the evolution of the Supreme.
So the values you're talking about are actual values, not just potential values.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But they're still not.
They literally get realityized, you know, when they get expressed, you know, in this individuated fashion, you know, in and on your soul. Right. The gesture is the realityizer, you know, that literally makes those facts substance. You know, those meanings and values become substantial form by a, you know, that mystery of how the adjuster makes a Maranja structure that not even the revelators understand. Yeah. So, just reminding you of some of that physics, and as we mentioned, you know, last time we were talking about this, you know, remember the whole bit of since the adjuster builds that soul, the adjuster not only has the memories that are related to that cosmic form that it's copying, but it has the specifics of the cosmic form. You know, it's literally incorporated that into its experiential nature. You know, so in a sense, it takes your experiential form that you've that's been grown in the upper domain of the hourglass analogy of your mind, literally makes it part of its nature, and then makes a copy of that. Right? You know, and if you decide to blow up that copy that it made, you know, it still has the original. And will forever, right? It will possess those experiential forms as part of its experiential nature forever.
That idea of, you talked about it last week too, mm-hmm. a little bit, of taking the, juxtaposing the individuality, material form, things, and values, the spiritual, mm-hmm. that is, and then, how they're bringing it up again this evening, it's adding to the idea of the undeveloped and then the development.
Mm-hmm,
as right. as that happens, then you're going to be developed and grown.
Right. That whole time that you're developing on Imagine World, there's new individuation that is realityizing, juxtaposed with value, produces new meaning that has never existed before, right? Yeah, and in the local system level, you're trying to get yourself fully individuated as a Marantia being, so that you have that full, you know, just in and of yourself meaning nature grown within you, and then you're going to take that up to the constellation level and associate it with others. But step one is to actually become a fact of meaning.
Could you say integrous then?
Right. I mean, you're integrous. Yeah. You're very much integrous. But you know, just you know, you have to choose to individuate more out of the supreme. You know, and every step that you take that differentiates you, that individuates you relative to the wholeness of the supreme. Yeah, there's this new superadditive consequence of individuality and unity that gives rise to a new, you know, internal associativity that is you, you know, is the meaning that is you.
It would be so
meaningful
nice,
values of you.
It would be so nice if the other people in the world could even hear these ideas about the realityizing, the growth, that it's not a magical, it's just wonderful to understand, understanding the...
Right, to see it literally as, the science and logic of it, right. You can begin to appreciate how unfortunate it is that many humans are trying to de-individuate their consciousness. They want to somehow bliss into unity all the more every day. You know? Which means they're becoming less and less individuated, which means their life has less and less meaning every day. They're more just the background value of the supreme, a drop of water in the ocean. Right? I mean, it's very sad. I mean, our life is almost devoid of meaning to begin with, even when you're working on it positively. But then to willfully, you know, de-individuate yourself like this because you want to feel have the spiritual experience of melting into the ocean, blissing out, right? You know, there's a physics to this. You're literally making your life all the more meaningless when you do that. You know, but of course they think that no, I'm doing the opposite. My life is filled with meaning now. Delusional meaning, not real meaning. Right? There's no real meaning when you are fixated on your spiritual consciousness like that. So it's very important, you know, this has consequences. The spiritual ministries synchronize with meaning. And so, you know, this person who's blissing out in the spiritual ocean may think that they have this incredible relationship with the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of Truth and their thought adjuster and all this stuff. No. You get none. It's not even the potential to have a relationship with them. Those facts relate to meaning, and you have none. Yeah. So they're all just twiddling their thumbs, waiting for it not to be so sad to record.
Becoming the background noise of life.
If that's what you want to do, if you want to just willfully become a drop of water in an ocean, well, okay, when all is said and done, you've contributed to the evolution of the Supreme, but you should feel a little tinge from your selfish roots. It's like, was that what you want to do? I mean, the Supreme will put you to good use as a drop of water. But, you should feel a little, it's like, no, I want to be part, as an individual, I want to be part of eternity. I don't want to be, a capillary inside of the Supreme Being. I'd like to stand as a separate individual. Well, then you need to choose, because it doesn't happen automatically. The drop of water happens naturally. An individuated person, going up the mansion worlds and becoming more and more individuated from the Supreme, every step is purely by choice. There's nothing automatic about that process. You don't just, sleep in your cot on the first mansion world for 1,000 years and wake up ready to go to the second mansion world. It takes vigorous choice to make any progress. Yeah, one must do something as well as be something, yes. And to do something, and we're talking about real doing, the consequence of choice kind of doing. Let's see, is there anything else? Let's see if we got, you will be conscious of all your worthwhile experiences as you advance from one mansion world to another, and from one's, that last line there. Think about, this is different from what right now. An awful lot of your worthwhile experiences right now are happening in your unconscious mind. Okay, but when you when you're not serving two masters anymore, when you're much more at eye level with the adjuster, right? See, you will be conscious of all your worthwhile experiences. It's an interesting to think about. Right now, those worthwhile experiences that are getting copied into your soul, most of those you're unconscious of right now. So, I mean, it is you that wakes up on the first mansion world, but it's a you that, by and large, was the unconscious you, the superconscious, technically you.
So you won't recognize
not the conscious you. See, so keep in mind about the contrast. That's a very important element of the fifth epical revelation. Humans currently believe, if they think about a self, they believe the boundaries of their self are defined by the boundaries of their consciousness. And that is not even close to being the fact, right? The conscious part of yourself is a very, very small portion of your total self. Most of your choices are unconscious. Most of your decisions are unconscious. Most of your mind activity is unconscious. Most of your experiences are unconscious. They're you. They're your experiences. But you're not conscious of them right now. Especially those ones that are high enough and cosmic enough to actually get copied into the soul. So, the revelation is putting forward a very trusting scenario for you. If you want, I want to be able to experience everything that I'm gonna wake up. No, you don't get that option. God's not gonna wake up, basically what you are conscious of right now. Most of what you're conscious of right now dies and is not resurrected. The real you, which you're mostly unconscious of, wakes up. It will feel like the real you, because it is you. It's just, so the point here is, humans often despair and commit suicide in this life because they assess the boundaries of their conscious space in their mind and find it very limited and wanting. How sad is that? The real you, you're unconscious of. If you could be conscious of how profound the unconscious you is, you wouldn't commit suicide. The unconscious you is coalescing around a fragment of infinity and eternity. Right? It's gorgeous, fantastic. It's not in despair, disillusionment, discouragement. Right? Just know that, people need to be told that. That the real you, you're not aware of. But it's there. Trust. Trust God has a hold of you. And it's what he has hold of is beautiful and good and true. Don't despair. All right. Let's see. I think we got everything there. Yeah, so just that whole bit of, think of how different it's going to be on the mansion worlds when you're conscious of all your worthwhile experiences. But it reminds you of what it really means to go to iniquity. In order to actually sin and go to iniquity, right, you have to be conscious of what's positive and be purposely choosing what's negative in contrast. It's all right in front of you there. You're conscious of everything that's good. And so when you go to iniquity on the first mansion world, say, if an individual does that, it's eyes wide open because it's kind of just natural. There's none of these, vast unconscious spaces, going on. It's all kind of right in front of you there. All right. No more here.
Though you have Varancha bodies, you continue through all seven of these worlds to eat, drink, and rest. You partake of the Varancha order of food, a kingdom of living energy unknown on the material worlds. Both food and water are fully utilized in the Varancha body. There is no residual waste. Pause to consider. Mansonia number 1 is a very material sphere, presenting the early beginnings of the Varancha regime. You are still a near human and not far removed from the limited viewpoints of mortal life, but each world discloses definite progress. From sphere to sphere, you grow less material, more intellectual, and slightly more spiritual. The spiritual progress is greatest on the last 3 of these 7 progressive worlds.
So keep that last sentence in mind as we go forward with the mansion worlds, and we'll see if we can better appreciate why that would be the case, that the last 3 have this difference like this. But it's from sphere to sphere, you grow less material, more intellectual. Varancha substance is like mind-made substance. See, so just it's just by definition you're becoming more and more definitive mindal phenomenon as you become more and more definitively Varanchal. Thing that caught my eye there, that whole bit about the limited viewpoints of mortal life. You're still mortal on the mansion worlds. But you can see there, by mortal I mean, the mortality of your nativity sphere, right? So you got to interpret the word mortal in context. Are they talking about just the material mortal life, or are they talking about the subsequent Varancha mortal life, or both? And you got to figure out in context. All right, we mentioned this before, this whole issue about how you have to eat and drink and rest. You're not partaking of material solid food. You're partaking of this Varancha plant life. But you've got that intriguing thing about water, like we talked about. And just another little option, a way of reflecting on how that might seem logical, appropriate. again, we've been saying that, you know, you've got this Marantia body that's kind of like mind-made substance, a quasi-substance. And mind energy, you know, is an analogy, is more like a liquid than matter and spirit that are like solids. You know, and we wonder about how does this water have no, you know, go into your body and have no residual waste? The fact that, you know, that it's liquid water, there seems to be some appropriateness to it sort of just melting into, synchronizing with, striking step with the liquid likeness of your nature as a mind, you know, mind with a body that's kind of just congealed mind, right?
Evaporate.
So even though we can't get into the physics and really understand exactly how that works, you know, it seems to make sense that this thing that's more like a liquid, you know, you couldn't put in solid food and have it somehow just melt into it, right? But liquid water, well, it doesn't seem to be so illogical that that might somehow be of like nature and could kind of just become part of the body.
I'm sure you can still overindulge in digestion. All kinds of issues.
Exactly, about gluttony. I don't know how to think about gluttony.
You couldn't get back into the bottle. You'd come out like a genie and you can't get back.
Let's see, what else was in there? Make sure we didn't miss anything there. It's to stress it again like I was. You notice how they're making a point of stressing it, that, you know, you, even though it's hard for us to imagine that life on the first mansion world is not going to be that different than this. I'm going to have a Marantia body, and I'm going to be able to see angels and all this sort of stuff. You know, but they try to remind you that, you know, don't overplay that. You know, like we were saying before, your ability to experience this fantastic new environment that you're in is limited. Right? So, you know, even though the environment is really profound, in many ways you see it dimly, and you can still convince yourself that, there's nothing really profound here. Why don't we just focus on me? You know, and forget about this imaginary God stuff and all this, and let's just go to iniquity, right? Self-righteousness is much more tangible than this intangible environment that I'm supposed to make myself right with. Right? You know, that's why we always go to self-righteousness instead of righteousness. It's because that which you're going to come into conformity with to be righteous, the cosmos, is not tangible to you. But you're tangible to yourself. Right? You delight in fondling yourself. My mind, it feels so wonderful. I'm in love with the shapes of my mind. Right? So, you know, that don't forget that that's, you know, it's, you know, they made a point of mentioning that you're just slowly beginning to see your environment as profound, where it would have this influence, like, well, who would choose iniquity in the presence of this glory? Right? We always ask that question, why would these people go to iniquity in the presence of all this glory? It's like, well, they don't see it. Right? It's not that different than right now, where, you know, there could be the most incredible spirit substance structure in this room that, you know, the universe has ever produced, and you can't see it, right?
Put it down.
Right? So don't forget, it's not that different. Limited viewpoint, right? Like they're saying there.
Question. All right.
Yeah, questions somewhere? Oh, yeah. On the webinar? Okay.
Jimmy wonders, I wonder if the Marantia body has a mouth, nose, eyes, arms, and legs, similar to what we have here?
You know, the answer is basically, you know, yes. You know that, if nothing else, from Jesus' post-resurrection life. I mean, you know, they are, you know, they're not making it look as if he has arms. He has arms, right? You know, and you know, if you're going to drink water, again, you know, the bigger logical picture to keep in mind that allows you to answer that question is, our bodies are a downstepped expression of a body above. I mean, that's fundamentally why. You know, and remember when we talked about the Melchizedeks, that's the cool thing about thinking about a Melchizedek and the fact that they, you know, through their own self-assertion, can literally modify the energy expression of their body. If they want to manifest in corporeal form, they can. And it's like, well, in corporeal form, you have veins and, you know, and skin and mouth and eyes and, you know. I mean, so in other words, that stuff is all there in some way. You know, it's not like they're, you know, making eyeballs out of nothing when they suddenly have material eyeballs. You know, they've just made their eyes manifest materially. Right? you know, I remember when we talked about with the life carrier planet. I mean, you know, they literally, when they make themselves corporeal like that, you know, that's not an incarnation. They're just manifesting corporeally. I mean, they literally can procreate with a material daughter. They're fully there, right? I mean, they've got the DNA and everything, just like us. Right? Somatic cells with all of the machinery in them. I mean, right? They aren't just an amorphous blob. I mean, so that stuff is all there in them as a spirit being, quote unquote, right? Right? They're not making somatic cells out of nothing. I mean, they're just, you know, manifesting the energy of their cells in a different way. Now, that's a very different picture of spirit beings than you know, humans always draw spirit beings as some amorphous cloud-like, you know, mist thing, you know? It's like, no, they have arms and legs and, you know, literally, effectively DNA and everything. Yeah, something over here?
I've always wondered, how in the heck can anyone get to the mansion worlds, first mansion world, and not be totally overwhelmed, and see it, no matter what road they've been following right on their nativity planet, you know, how could it happen? Well, you explained that, you know, the formation of the soul is slow, very, and it can be distorted something terrific, and so many people will get there with these. Teeny, tiny little souls that are twisted, and so this I would see as a possibility for them to be unable to reconcile themselves to this sort of extraordinary
fresh environment. And just the literalness of a tiny little soul is going to have limited sensory ability. You know, it's going to be hard for you to see much.
Plus, there's no symmetry to it.
Yeah. Right, and then if you throw on top of that, like you're just saying, if you take that little embryonic soul and twist it, it's going to be even harder for it to really see the environment. Right, it's going to take its dim little input and twist it. And so, you know, you know, it's not a magic thing where you wake up and you got this crystal clear, you know, sensual experience of the environment.
And one other thing, Lucifer and Satan at some point recognized the folly of what was going on, what they were creating, yet they had gone so far that they really couldn't go back because they had their image.
Right, they didn't have the courage. Said. Right.
So, I mean, the same sort of a thing with mortals that get to the mansion world in this pitiful state of irreconcilable distortion.
Right.
That.
Right. Like I was saying, I mean, about righteousness and self-righteousness, you know, if you wake up with a twisted soul, you know, one of the ways to think about what that twisting is, it's a twisting that turns your eyes inward instead of outward, right? You know, and if your eyes were twisted inward, you know, when you died, you wake up with your eyes twisted inward, and, you know, even more so, you know, all you see is yourself, and there's this, you know, you're a much improved self. You know, it's much easier to fall in love with yourself when you're a Marantia self, than when you're a material self. right? It's a much cooler self. So self-love is, you know, is the potential of self-love is augmented, you know, by giving you a mirage, by, you know, identifying this personality to this mirage form. So, like I said, I mean, that's why it's very likely that you you go to iniquity in fairly short order. You know, when you don't have the inertia of the of that other master that you have here, you just snip that tether, and you know, and off you go. You know, if you're trying to rotate your eyeballs around to navel gaze, it's much easier if there's no material inertia to that rotation. You can just flip them around.
And a much more attractive navel.
Yeah, and a much more attractive navel, like I just said, yes. Okay. However, you know, you do have that question. The Marancha body probably doesn't have a belly button. there is that difference of...
I just jumped into this well of confusion. What is my body bumping up against right now? Maybe it's not that our bodies are that different, but the environment in which we set that body doesn't rub against it. I like this very amorphous thought that I'm having, but so never mind.
Well, it's just, you remember the environment there. If I were put with this body in that environment, I could touch all kinds of stuff there, and the Marancha body I will have there can touch all that same stuff in a very analogous way. Initially it's just not that different, you know, and you know, it's kind of like when you're thinking about that Melchizedek. You know, there's a high energy part of that Melchizedek that doesn't really touch the arm of the chair, like I'm doing it right now. But there's a part of him that does or can touch the arm of the chair like I am right now. And all it has to do is just turn that face out. And then he can touch the arm of the chair.
That takes some mind control.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I mean, there's this very profound mind over energy. Ability that a secondary midwayer or Melchizedek has, where they can, you know, they can sort of decide what's on the, you know, sort of the outside, you know. So how do they interact with energy? Do they interact, you know, in a molecular fashion, like I'm doing with my hand on the arm of this couch right now, or some more fundamental way? Okay, let's see. Did we get everything there? I think we did, didn't we? Yeah, we got everything. Let's go to the next thing.
Biological deficiencies were largely made up on the first mansion world. Their defects in planetary experiences pertaining to sex life, family association, and parental function were either corrected or were projected for future rectification among the material sun families on Jerison.
Okay, so that little snippet. Remember how we talked about them contrasting using deficiency and deficit to play off of the difference that they have, despite the fact that they're sort of the same root etymological level. In general, you have issues of incompleteness. You have deficiencies. The biological deficiencies, the ways that you are Swiss cheese, you know, you're biologically incomplete, that's made up on the first mansion world. And, like I said, that's obviously synchronized with the post-Adamic nature of the first mansion world. Yeah.
But all of these inefficiencies that some of us will arrive on the mansion worlds with all have to be accomplished or achieved or made over and first mansion world. So I'm probationary nursery. I got to sleep in the first mansion world with all these crazy people.
Right, just again, I mean, you know, we haven't gotten to the second sentence yet, but just the basic issues when they say biologic deficiencies, like, well, I won't have a material body. What do you mean biologic deficiencies? Right? The issues of foundational individuality, in ways in which you're incomplete. You know, you got to allow yourself to think about it more abstractly, Because again, remember, the specifics of what we're talking about is really beyond our imagination. Okay, but if you abstract, you know, in some way, I'm incomplete in terms of individuality potential, and I need to complete that. I mean, I can't actualize my individuality through the mansion worlds if I don't have the potential to actualize. So then the first mansion world is to get all of your individuality potential in place, to make up these deficiencies. In some way, you're just not individuatable yet enough. And see, again, that makes sense. You're too much like that drop of water in the ocean of the Supreme. Right? You don't even have the potential to separate yourself from the Supreme yet. You know, and if they don't work on that, it's very likely you're just going to go to iniquity and that drop of water is going to go back into the ocean, right? So they make up for these foundational individuality deficiencies. And some of the issues are more appropriately called defects rather than the general sense of incompleteness of a deficiency. You know, imperfections. And notice what they call imperfections. You know, the issues of sex life, family association, and parental function. I mean, yeah, there's aspects of incompleteness there, but it's, in a sense, it's a little more than that. There's an aspect of imperfectness there that has to be remedied. Okay? You know, and again, you know, we're not talking about a biological sex life. You've left that behind. That's that other master. Right? We're talking about the real sex life, the relationship between two minds of a very different nature. You're ascending as a mindal self. Right? And there's a fundamental difference between female selves and male material selves. And remember, when they talked about that, you as a Marantia being, you're not a, you know, that kind of material female or male self anymore. So you can't make up that by interacting with your fellow Marantia ascenders. That differential is not there. You need to interact with material sons and daughters where that differential is there. And you've got to indirectly acquire what you get from that differential by synchronizing with them so well that it's as if you were one of them, acquiring that differential between a material male and a material female, and the differential of mind that is only present in that situation. Okay, so the mindal sex life, not the physical sex life. And then the family association, parental function that goes with it. See, and they pointed out, I mean, some of this stuff, you know, you may be able to get taken care of on the first mansion world. But, you know, some of it's, you know, like the parental stuff, you know, you're most likely going to have to wait until you get to Gerasim as a citizen and can actually live with a material son and daughter to make up, you know, that sort of issue. Right. Okay. We got everything. Yeah, okay. Get the last paragraph there.
Mansonia number 2, more specifically, provides for the removal of all phases of intellectual conflict and for the cure of all varieties of mental disharmony. The effort to master the significance of Marantia Moda, begun on the first mansion world, is here more earnestly continued. The development on Mansonia number 2 compares with the intellectual status of the post-magisterial son, culture of the ideal evolutionary worlds.
Yeah, so just as we suspected, sure enough, if the first one was post-Adamic, this one probably going to be post-magisterial. Yes, it is. So now you go, oh, I know what the next one's going to be. I mean, you see the pattern here already. You know, and just like post-magisterial son on a nativity world, you know, they come as the intellectual uplifters, you know, sort of the rudimentary philosophic uplifters, you know, when you're in that very early state of development on a normal world. And notice how they're starting to get you to think about Moda. So you've got the individuality foundation is not Swiss cheese anymore, but the the mental life is still pretty fractured. You know, and there's all these phases of intellectual conflict, as they're talking about here. There's things that are cross currents, and things aren't flowing together in a nice laminar way. You've got eddies and cross currents, and so you're gonna turbulence. You're gonna work through all of that. Get it. Get your mind into a harmonious state. And see, cure all varieties of mental disharmony. Well, if you in other words, if you have this more harmonious mind, is it logical that you might be able to begin to really start, working on this Moda issue? Well, like look on the threefold actuality chart, right? You've got science, philosophy, religion, system of ideas, a system of associations, a system of ideals. You go down to the fourth block, you have Moda, which is, bringing those together. It's a system of harmony. Right? So, you can just see it right there. If I have a more harmonious mind, if there's less mental disharmony, then I now have the potential to begin to synchronize with the cosmos directly as a harmony, rather than individually one of the threefold actualities, and then try to encompass that and get a harmony. I can directly start to engage the harmony of the cosmos, the triunity of the cosmos, with with my Marantxa mind as it develops, and it has this holistic motion called Moda. Okay? This harmonious, harmony-like, cosmos-like motion that is Moda. All right. So again, when you think it through, it all seems very logical what they're indicating would be happening in each of these worlds. So you can now get into it more earnestly here, as they're saying. Just one little side note. As we look forward to most likely, in the not too distant future, having a magisterial son come here. Their foundational role is that intellectual uplifter, or that evolutionary human philosophy catalyzer uplifter. But in the wake of having a bestowal son already here, and the fifth epical revelation in my lap that I can work with and synchronize with, that magisterial son that's going to be coming in the not too distant future can come as a more full philosophic uplifter. Not just the human philosophy, but the upper hemisphere of the full sphere of true philosophy. Not just the lower hemisphere that the normal magisterial son works on, but the full hemisphere of philosophy, or the full sphere of philosophy. Help us with that true metaphysics that is the upper hemisphere, which, when I have Moda, I can get that upper hemisphere directly with Moda. So you'll see as we go forward, they speak to that development too. But, remember, there's a lot more potential for the magisterial son now because of what Michael did and what the whole super universe did in giving us this revelation. All right, let's get into the third mansion world a little bit.
Section 5, the third mansion world. Mansonia the third is the headquarters of the mansion world teachers. Though they function on all seven of the mansion spheres, they maintain their group headquarters at the center of the schools, of the school circles of world number 3. There are millions of these instructors on the mansion in higher Marantxa worlds. These advanced and glorified cherubim serve as Marantia teachers all the way up from the mansion worlds to the last sphere of local universe ascendant training. They will be among the last to bid you an affectionate adieu when the farewell time draws near. The time when you bid goodbye, at least for a few ages, to the universe of your origin. When you in seraphim for transit to the receiving worlds of the minor sector of the super universe.
Okay, so, you know, initially it just kind of seems out of the blue. They tell you that you got the headquarters of the Mansion World Teachers. Okay, now we're going to talk about the details of the Mansion World Teachers more in the next paper. But, you know, you don't need to know much details. It's got the word teachers in the name. Okay, so they're teachers. Is this logical that they would have their headquarters on the third Mansion World? Well, what did they tell you? On the first Mansion World, you finally got the mind in the proper state. Oh, so it's very logical. The next thing, now you can genuinely start to be taught. Right? So sure enough, their headquarters are on the next Mansion World. Right? The Mansion World teachers can do very limited things with you when your mind is still full of conflict. Or even more so, if your individuality, you know, is still full of conflict on the first Mansion World. But once you get those two foundational issues sorted out, so you have sort of sound body and mind, now you can be taught. Right? You're not this, you know, intangible pile of eddies and cross currents and, you know, and bottomless pits falling in through Swiss cheese of your, you know, your body nature, right? You know, you're all there. You're holistic. Right, so you can see it makes complete sense that's where they would be. As soon as they can really get to work, that's where their headquarters is. You know, they function throughout the whole local universe regime. Let's see, what else do we need? Bring out their they're having fun with language there. They will be among the last to bid you an affectionate adieu. Do you know? Have you ever thought about the literal meaning of adieu? Right? To God. Right? Yeah. The coming out of the Latin into French. I mean, you know, the AD prefix is to. Right, and obviously the root there is God, right? commending you onward to God. You know, and we say that in euphemism when we say farewell or goodbye. Yeah, right? Instead of saying God, you know, you say, But you know, fundamentally, the blessing was, you have a guest in your home, and you know you're kind of seeing to their safety and whatnot, but then eventually you have to set out on the road again, and you know the way roads were back in those days. There's robbers everywhere along the roads. It's like, I commend you to God, right? They put you out into the world, and you know, may God bless you, because you're going to need it when you aren't in my home and I'm protecting you.
Sure to close the gate.
Right? But so that whole bit of here you at this initial local universe home, and really launching you out onto the high seas toward God, an affectionate adieu. Let's see. Yeah, and then, you know, you're not going to get back, at least for a few ages, you know. And the word age starts to be a long span of time when you're playing in the trillions domain, right? could be a long time before you get back to this local universe. All right, but off to the minor sector you go. Yeah, you know, so, you know, always do that. I mean, if you're, you know, when you're reading along, you know, if you aren't directly already aware of the literal etymological meaning of a word, pause and go look it up. You'll never be disappointed. You'll always be delighted what you find, because that most of the time, that's what they want you to be thinking, is the literal meaning of the word, not, you know, some dictionary definition of the word or whatever. They want you to, you know, be working with the truth of the word. And the more you have the truth of it, the more the text comes alive. So, all right.
When sojourning on the first mansion world, you have permission to visit the first of the transition. When sojourning on the first mansion world, you have permission to visit the first of the transition worlds, the headquarters of the Finaliters, and the system probationary nursery for the future, for the nurture of undeveloped evolutionary children. When you arrive on Mansonia number 2, you receive permission periodically to visit transition world number 2, where are located the Marantia supervisor headquarters for all Satania and the training schools for the various Marantia orders. When you reach mansion world number 3, you are immediately granted a permit to visit the third transition sphere, the headquarters of the angelic orders, and the home of their various system training schools. Visits to Gerasim from this world are increasingly profitable and are of ever-heightening interest to the advancing mortals.
See, again, just that simple fact of increasingly profitable. I mean, you literally can have experiences there that you couldn't have before. Weren't possible to have before, like I was saying. Right, so it all becomes just geometrically delightful as, you know, each time you go there, geometrically more and more delightful. Now, just, you know, in passing, since we have a little bit more context, remember when we read about the transition worlds and they mentioned, you know, number 2, it was all kind of abstract. But remember, we've run across them mentioning how there's these Marantia supervisors, and you see, you know, that's their headquarters world. There's a whole bunch of Marantia beings. So you notice not only sort of supervisor sorts of beings, but you know, for the various Marantia orders. I mean, there's all kinds of beings that are Marantia beings that they don't reveal to us. You know, they're natives there. And their headquarters world is that second world. Now, so just, you know, notice in passing, like we stressed some, you know, that most of what's going on in these worlds is not on these pages, is unrevealed. And there's just little hints that remind you of all kinds of beings that they don't even, you know, describe any of their activities at all. Remember how sparse it got, you know, in the previous paper when we were reading about the triangles and the, you know, and the rectangles, you know, when they started to really talk about kind of just the native things there. There's not much they can say because they haven't revealed any of the natives. Right. It's all very biased, what you're reading here, to just the parts that you're interacting with as an ascender. Because that's the fifth epical revelation. The revelators can't tell you anything beyond this ascension scheme, basically. Right, so, you know, don't ever forget that. You know, who knows what all these other Marantia orders are? And, you know, and asking, it's like, well, how do they have memory? Like, you could, you know, ask yourself, since we were reflecting on that. You know, how does that work? You know, we saw that there's these issues with us as a Marantia being. We need an adjuster to have this memory storage, you know, a possibility. Well, how does it work for all these beings that are just made Marantia beings? You know, what's the deal there? They must have some different kind of a brain that is more solid or something, you know, that has more spirit substance in it or something, so that it can hold memories, or, you know, and you can just start speculating. Or maybe it's more matter-like, and so it's more like our brain storing memories. I don't know.
Are the Sporanian Marantia?
No. The Spernagia, you know, are material creatures. Yeah. The Spranga, you know, more spirit beings. The Spernagia are just material animals, right? Very, very fancy material animals. Okay, so, you know. You know, the rest of it, we kind of already talked about that whole bit of going to, you know, to the different primary satellites as you move through the Mansion Worlds. Let's see, we mentioned that. I think we got everything there, didn't we? You got these great big long paragraphs. You got to make sure you don't miss anything in them. You know, maybe just mention again, we commented on this, you know, when they say you receive permission, you know, don't forget about that aspect. You know, they don't just set you loose. you know, like especially when you go to Gerasim, you know, there's lots of, you know, do not enter signs, you know, for a first Mansion World, you know, visitor. And, you know, there's a lot of places that that you can't go initially. And some of the reasons is not because they just, you know, are being mean and won't let you go there. Yeah, you couldn't experience anything there anyway. Or what you could experience might be more, you know, confusing than helpful or whatever, right? Because you just are so limited in your sensory abilities early on.
Yeah,
Again, I've said it before, but I've always seen, you know, when you're driving down the street and you see the little kindergartners, and there are about 9 or 10 of them, they all have a rope.
Yeah.
There's somebody in front of them. And so that's, I can see it. So all in our classes run
right in. Yeah, so the Marantia companion is it the head of the rope chain. Yes. And all the first Mansion World ducklings are trailing along behind, yes.
We're walking.
That's a good visual. Right, so, but you know, you'll just be wide-eyed, you know, the whole time. You know, your mouth will be hanging open.
Rope, over
you'll be tripping over things. Watch where you're walking, students. Yeah.
Jerks you forward.
Exactly.
Just stalled.
Fixated. All right.
Mansonia III is a world of great personal and social achievement for all who have not made the equivalent of these circles of culture prior to release from the flesh on the mortal nativity worlds. On this sphere, more positive educational work has begun. The training of the first two Mansion Worlds is mostly of a deficiency nature, negative, in that it has to do with supplementing the experience of the life in the flesh. On this third Mansion World, the survivors really begin their progressive Marantia culture. The chief purpose of this training is to enhance the understanding of the correlation of Marantia Moda and mortal logic. The coordination of Marantia Moda and human philosophy. Surviving mortals now gain practical insight into true metaphysics. This is the real introduction to the intelligent comprehension of cosmic meanings and universe interrelationships. The culture of the third Mansion World partakes of the nature of the bestowal sun age of a normal inhabited planet.
Post-bestowal sun age. Yeah. So, everyone guessed that. That would be the next one. Okay. So, what are some things that they're tossing in here? And they're delightfully minimalistic, so that they try to get you to reflect and put the pieces together yourself. Now, like you've heard me say, remember, the really significant things that you want to get out of the revelation can't be gained by analysis. By breaking the whole of the book into parts, like reading this paragraph, you know, that's a part, right? Quoting this paragraph, you know, saying that this sentence tells you such and so. That's acquiring facts through analysis. You know, the primary way that you, of functioning, that you want to develop to get the facts out of the revelation that they want you to get is through synthesis, right? Taking the parts and putting them together so as to form a whole, right? Taking the little clues and having the logical ability to synthesize those into a whole, you know, and discovering as you mature that the conclusions of synthesis are just as definitive as the conclusions of analysis. Right? You know, what you can gain by synthesis is just as definitive as reading the words in a particular sentence. Right? Initially, you don't think so, because you're a child of God. But as you mature into an adolescent and an adult of God, you discover that the products of synthesis are just as definitive as if the words were literally there in black and white. Right, so, you know, just notice how they just in passing said in that first sentence, all who have not made the equivalent of these circles of culture prior to release, you're going, circles. Well, let's see, they mentioned circles back here. Are they talking about the school circles of world number three? No, it doesn't feel... Oh, they're talking about the psychic circles.
I must have forgot about that. Now, I got on Matchwell 1.
What are they thinking? What are they intimating here? All right. The more you reflect on it, it's like, oh, you're basically getting everyone to third circular here, right? Because think about what they just talked about. These deficiencies that you're made up. These conflicts and whatnot. When you think in terms of your agitated mind going from seventh circular to third circular, you're dealing with all those initial conflicts between the adjutants. Some of them are, you favor and greatly, and some of them you don't even know exist, because of your initial genetic bias, right? And you have to get all seven adjutants turned all the way up and working together, right? Have that initial harmony, we're talking about harmony. Right, so, we haven't, these mortals haven't basically fused yet. We're a ways away from fusion, But they pointed out, you can really start getting going here and think about it. Yeah, when you're a third circler, you can start to really get going towards the process. Right, so you're basically trying to get mortals, in general, to third circler status here, see, on the third mansion world. And they even gave you a little hint of calling it Mansonia the third.
Yeah.
not Mansonia number three, or the third Mansonia, or the third mansion world. They purposely use that little thing. Think the third what? All right, they're trying to give you hints. So obviously moving forward, you'd be looking for people kind of going into second circular, first circular, fusion, right, as you move through the next worlds. All right, so what happens when you've got a Marantia being that's kind of in this much more intellectually integrated state of third circular? Well, you can get really going on true philosophy. So you notice that the chief purpose of this training is to enhance the understanding of the correlation of Marantia moda and mortal logic. The upper hemisphere and the lower hemisphere. The coordination of Marantia moda and human philosophy. The upper hemisphere and the lower hemisphere. Right? Right now, to get the full sphere, you have the lower hemisphere of human philosophy. That you've got to acquire by synchronizing yourself with 2,600 years of philosophic evolution on this planet. Right? So that's half your picture. And then you've got divine revelation to give you the upper hemisphere. Right? The fifth epical revelation only gives you half of what you need. You've got to supply the other half, the lower hemisphere, and then together you can get the initial relationship to the fullness of true philosophy. Now, we don't need divine revelation up there because we have Marantia moda. Right? We can get that true metaphysics, that true upper hemisphere, directly through Marantia moda, consciousness, our recognition of the big picture. That upper hemisphere, to combine with the details of the lower hemisphere. All right, so all the things they're pointing out, the relationship between philosophy and logic, right? Reason, logic, faith, the basic threefold actuality, of science, philosophy, religion. All these things that we talk about in Reawakening Philosophy, for those of you who've taken it. All right, so you now get practical insight into true metaphysics. This is the real introduction to the intelligent comprehension of cosmic meanings. right? In universe relationships, you can begin to really start to synchronize with the cosmos now. Like I said, Marantxa Moda, I mean, gives you sort of this direct sight ability of cosmic meanings. I mean, you can see the triunity. And remember what else is going on at this time. You're leaving behind thinking in terms of the abstraction of time. You know, you're thinking more, instead of thinking of time in sort of a framework of time and space, you're steadily moving away from that and thinking in a framework of motion and space. Mm. Right? See, in that wholeness of that motion, you can see that now because you have this holistic sight of Moda consciousness. Right? You can see it in its inherent nonlinear nature rather than having to abstract and linearize with the chronicity of that motion as time. Right?
Is that like saying that time is becoming more and more irrelevant?
No, there's still the chronicity of the motion.
Right.
It's just that it's, you know, your relationship to the chronicity of the motion is secondary. I mean, right now, you know, you have this very direct relationship to this fact we call time. It's sort of the way you think about things. You know, it's the primary template, you know, that you're interpreting everything in. It'll be different there. The primary template would be the motion directly, and then you abstract from that as a secondary issue the chronicity aspect of it. Yeah, and again, that's not going to mean anything to us. I mean, that's just words, but it won't be words, you know, there. This will make sense. You'll have this experience. You'll understand what it's like to stop thinking in such temporal terms. That you'll be more just a phenomenon that's striking step with the motion that is the universe. You know, it's a universe of motion. Everything's a motion. You know, and you're an ascending mindal self. You know, there's this mind energy system and it's motion. And you're like a motion moving up through that. You know, it's, you know, yeah, you know, if you want to think about it, it's like a, you know, sort of a vortex or whatever, you know, in that moving fluid of mind, you know, you're ascending up in that system of motion. You're not this solid blob that's being lifted up on a, you know, on a rope, right? I mean, you're literally just, you know, a quasi-individuation within a mind energy system, right? You're not birthed out of that mindal womb until you leave the local universe. Now you really kind of are more of this thing, you know, rather than this sort of quasi thing, you know, in the mind energy system that's sort of just bubbling up through it in the local universe. Yeah, but you know, when you think about yourself as sort of like a vortex or quasi individuation within that motion system, you're synchronized with that motion, you know, the fact of motion much more immediately. Okay, all kinds of things to reflect on that are different than floating up and going through the trapdoor in the celestial sphere and then sitting on a, you know, cloud or anything right. Like that.
it's like being harmonized with the dynamo of the universe.
Yeah, right. You're more fundamentally a dynamic fact. Right? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So you become this dynamic, flowing fact, and that's the brings us right to the other thing I wanted to point out there. So notice how they're stressing that you are now being able to become in a much more holistic way a personal living philosophy. You know, to have the two hemispheres of the full sphere in a very direct and profound way. So you now can relate to the universe much more holistically than you ever could. What is that word that expresses that relationship to the wholeness? Truth. What happens on a world in the post-bestowal sun age? The spirit of truth is poured out. Right? See, so that's why it's logical again. Right? The kind of help towards relating to the wholeness, to the truth, to the cosmos, that the Spirit of Truth gives mortals on a world, you begin to have, you know, directly just by development, right? So that even if someone is ascending from a world that doesn't have the Spirit of Truth yet, and so hence they don't have a direct relationship to the Spirit of Truth yet, they begin to effectively have such a truthful relationship without that catalytic agent of that Spirit ministry helping them. For those who do, you know, like we'll be getting to the third mansion world, you know, we'll still be synchronized with the Spirit of Truth. You know, remember we are even when we leave the local universe. So, you know, we've got this, you know, augmentation thing. So on the third mansion world, you'll be able to synchronize with truth more so than those who don't have the Spirit of Truth ministry helping them out. Yeah? So like I said, the point is just to reflect on how all these things they tell you are really telling you the same thing in different ways. Can you synthesize all these parts into a whole? You see how it's all just one statement, really, and then it's like, well, that implies this part and that part and this part, but it's really just one whole. Can you start to see this like that? Yeah. It's not a non sequitur. This is a post-bestowal sun age, effectively. All right. Well, let's see. Yeah, let's do it. Let's do the fourth mansion world.
The fourth mansion world. When you arrive on the fourth mansion world, you have well entered upon the Maurantia career. You have progressed a long way from the initial material existence. Now are you given permission to make visits to transition world number 4, there to become familiar with the headquarters and training schools of the super angels, including the brilliant evening stars. Through the good offices of these super angels of the fourth transition world, the Maurantia visitors are enabled to draw very close to the various orders of the sons of God during the periodic visits to Gerasim. For new sectors of the system capital are gradually opening up to the advancing mortals as they make these repeated visits to the headquarters world. New grandeurs are progressively unfolding to the expanding minds of these ascenders.
Just like we've been saying, you know, more and more the do not enter signs don't apply to you. And you literally just have the ability to experience more of what's there. And you've got a little bit of, you know, how the super angels, I mean, really we only know about the brilliant evening stars, you know, we don't know much about all these unrevealed types, but we know basically how that works. They always are helping with the issue of the suns functioning. You know, like the brilliant evening star telling Jesus, you know, it's time you were about your father's business, right? I mean, he's helping out with that whole bestowal sun mission. Right, so they're just, you know, pointing that out, that you're going to start to get more synchronized with, you know, what the suns are about. Remember, there's that whole set of circles for the sons of God on Gerasim, right? So when you go there, you'll have more to do with that set of circles than you ever had before once you get this help from the super angels to be able to synchronize with their doings. Let's see, anything else there? Maybe you have progressed a long way from the initial material existence. You know, since we kind of talked about that a while back, thinking about Jesus, you know, going through the psychic circles and how, you know, he's almost like he was a different man, you know, from an earlier and less mature person. You know, to be a third circler is to have moved a long ways from what you are as a little child of God, seventh circler. You know, like I point out, I mean, remember when you read about Jesus going around the Mediterranean, you know, you're reading about the doings of a third circler, right? And, you know, and you read about how profoundly he interacts with people, and you think, oh my goodness, how did he think to be so wise and clever and adept, you know, to do it like that, you know? Yeah, you can't even imagine yourself doing that. Yeah, that's because it's a long ways from where you are to a third circler. Right? A third circler looks like Jesus going around the Mediterranean. Right? You know, and if we take this journey up to the mansion worlds, where you have a Maranja mind now instead of Agita mind, it's even more profound. Right, so as you're moving, you know, into second circular sort of stuff, as you move into the fourth mansion world, you know, it's a very, very profoundly different mindal self from anything you can imagine right now. You just can't even remotely imagine what you'll be like here. It's so beyond. Remember, you've got to go way beyond anything that Jesus ever did during his life. Right, as a true man, right? You're going to get to the point of fusion, you know, the height of his just as a true man manifestation on this planet, before you even get off the mansion worlds. Right? You're going to leave anything that you can read about with Jesus, you know, way behind by the time you get to Gerizim, basically. You know, and think about what it's going to be like when you're up there on Uversa. You know, and the Ancients of Days are saying, oh, you're all over this. Here, God doesn't need to do this anymore. You can do this. Right? That's a long ways above anything Jesus did. Right? You know, the Ancients of Days didn't turn anything over to Jesus. So, you know, just remember that. It helps to temper Jesusism in your mind. Right? You know, you remember how Jesus even said, you'll do much greater things than these.
Yeah.
Right? Trying to remind you of that. Yeah. Guard against that religion about Jesus thing, that whole Jesusism tendency that you're always going to have. Right?
But he could cure leprosy.
Yeah, but that's God. Right? Okay. It's different in his public ministry. He's God.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. That's why. You know, his public ministry is not of much usefulness to you as an example, because you're not God, you're never going to be God, right? Important part of, you know, the story is before the baptism, right? Before fusion, right? Especially, you know, don't try to set your sights on first circular. Your first goal is third circular, and you've got this extensive description of what a third circular is like. He's going around the Mediterranean. That's what you should be striving for first. Forget about anything else. See if you can interact with others like that.
Good luck.
Okay? That's your first job. And it'll probably take you until the third mansion world to get there. So,
how long would that be?
It could be a very long time for some of us. There's a lot of biological deficiencies I suspect I have to deal with on the first mansion world. All right, let's keep going here.
On the fourth Mansonia, the individual ascender more fittingly finds his place in the group working and class functions of the Maranja life. Ascenders here develop increased appreciation of the broadcasts and other phases of local universe culture and progress.
All right, so all that's, you know, just kind of indicating this growth that we've been talking about. Notice the one little hint, you know, your Maranja mind is getting sophisticated enough now that you can begin to synchronize with the local universe tongue. You know, that's what's between the lines with them mentioning that you have this increased appreciation of the broadcasts, right, and other phases of local universe culture and progress. You'll see next time when we, you know, read forward that they hearken back to that fact. But that's what's happening there. So, you know, you finally have enough mode of consciousness that you can begin to actually consciousize the local universe tongue and can start to leave behind that training wheels language, you know, that you've been using. Okay.
It is during the period of training on world number 4 that the ascending mortals are really first introduced to the demands and delights of the true social life of Maranja creatures. And it is indeed a new experience for evolutionary creatures to participate in social activities which are predicated neither on personal aggrandizement nor on self-seeking conquest. A new social order is being introduced, one based on the understanding sympathy of mutual appreciation, the unselfish love of mutual service, and the overmastering motivation of the realization of a common and supreme destiny, the paradise goal of worshipful and divine perfection. Ascenders are all becoming self-conscious of God-knowing, God-revealing, God-seeking, and God-finding.
Right, so the adjuster is really starting to be very definitively at eye level. Now, remember, we're getting close to third circular here, see? So, you know, that's what they're reminding you at the end there. You know, you're starting to get up to eye level with the adjuster. But, you know, there's some, you know, really huge things they just toss in here. First of all, you're first introduced to the demands and delights of the true social life. Mm. Right? Remember, it's not just the bliss on the cloud thing. Right? Effort, struggle, conflict, right? You got to go through the whole sequence. Faith, determination, love, loyalty, and progress, right? There's huge demands. You know, and like we were saying, I mean, if anything, demands get ever and ever greater the farther you go. I mean, they don't make very strong, big demands on first management world students. Yeah, just like you don't make big demands of a three-year-old.
Which will also be stronger to cope with.
Right, you can handle it, but you're going to have to more definitively choose to take a hold of a more holistic nature, and that's a demanding thing to do. And just look at, you know, what they said. You know, we're on the fourth mansion world. Okay, we're, you know, we're way beyond post-bestowal sun sort of stuff. And they're saying, and it is indeed a new experience for evolutionary creatures to participate in social activities which are predicated neither on personal aggrandizement nor self-seeking conquest. Mansion worlds 1, 2, and 3? That's still a profound thing going on. Personal aggrandizement and self-seeking conquest on the first three mansion worlds. Is that what you were expecting? Right, so this whole issue about going to iniquity on the mansion worlds. Okay, I'm on the first mansion world. My body is completely, you know, misformed. So what kind of a mind do I have seated on that? So is it likely that I could go astray and go to iniquity? Yeah, pretty likely. Okay, I get the body straightened out, but on the second mansion world, I still have this completely muddled up mind. How likely is it I could go to iniquity still? Yeah, still quite likely. Right? You know, and if I haven't, you know, left behind personal aggrandizement and self-seeking conquest, have I left the potential of iniquity behind very far? No, not very far yet. So by the time you get to the fourth mansion world, see, those going to iniquity is going to start to get few. Yeah. Right, we're getting close to fusion here, so, you know, fewer and fewer. But you can see that the potential is obviously there. You know, you're going to have, you know, acquaintances or maybe even close friends on the first three mansion worlds who go to iniquity, yeah, because they fall in love with themselves. That self on the third mansion world, for instance, that has this very holistic, philosophic character and, you know, doesn't need divine revelation anymore, has got the moda all by itself. Wow, you could fall in love with that kind of a profound self, a self that's transcended the need for revelation. Right? You know, that could go to your head, personal aggrandizement. And those inward arrows of self-seeking conquest where you bubble yourself off from reality.
But at the same time, so with the mirage companions, etc., and our angels that are going to be prodding to get too fat in the head.
Yeah, I mean, it. You know, you shouldn't be afraid, but just remember, there's nothing magical about this. You have to choose eternity because you can easily choose iniquity without even thinking about it. You know, remember, Lucifer started with unconscious choices towards iniquity, under the radar, right? It was a long time before he got the conscious choices.
Wow.
Right? And he's a lot higher than you are when you're on a third Mansion World. Okay? You must guard against those unconscious choices that are unwittingly taking you towards iniquity. All right? Take delight in cultivating. Don't assume that it just happens naturally, that you float to the Isle of Paradise. You know, in eternal bliss. Right? No, it demands. It's very demanding, very exacting. It has to be very precise and never blinking. Lucifer blinked. Didn't turn out well. Don't blink.
For any of us.
Now, do you have the courage to not respond with fear, you know, in the face of that? That you can't blink. Right? You need to overcome your fear. That's why Jesus said, step one is fear not. You know, you shouldn't even be listening to me if you haven't done the fear not thing. And certainly don't read the fifth epical revelation if you haven't done the fear not thing. Right? All right, then they give you the last little footnote here.
The intellectual and social culture of this fourth mansion world is comparable to the mental and social life of the post-teacher sun age on the planets of normal evolution. The spiritual status is much in advance of such a mortal dispensation.
Okay, so obviously it's going to be the post-Trinity teacher sun's age in parallel in the fourth mansion world. You know, that, like they were alluding to, you mean some very profound learning, you know, can happen, you know, in parallel with the concept of a post-teacher sun age on a nativity world. And then they reminded you, you know, it's post-Trinity teacher sun world plus. You know, they're thinking that, you know, they told you this before, but they thought they should remind you again here. See, the spiritual status is much in advance of such a mortal dispensation. And so your ability to relate to the whole, you know, is much greater when you have a Mirantia mind, you know, than anyone that has adjunct mind on a post-Trinity teacher son world. And it's just, you know, it doesn't matter how advanced they are, how perfectly everything has been rolling along. They have adjunct mind, right? And it has limits. Yeah, but once you have Mirantia mind, you know, you can know the truth more because you've been set free for more mindily. Okay, so we'll wrap it up there, but just, you know, so we don't forget about that little loose end. Remember how they said, you know, they told us that the development on Mansonia number two, not there. We're reading the wrong one. Where was it? Here. The spiritual progress is greatest on the last three of these seven progressive worlds. Why is that logical? Right, because the last three are going to be parallel to light and life worlds.
Right.
See, so that's why that, you know, it's greatest on the last three. You know, you finally have gotten, really definitive in terms of Mirantia, and can start to really direct towards spirit. Not surprisingly, you're probably going to be fusing pretty soon now, you know, with that spirit fragment. See how it all makes sense in progress. Okay, so next time we'll get our way through the rest of the mansion worlds and on to Gerasim citizenship. And spend some time yourself again. See, you know, read through these things yourself and see if you can reconstruct that sort of holistic picture that I tried to paint for you. Notice how you can synthesize all the parts of a paragraph, you know, in one logical whole. That really, it's just many sentences saying the same thing in a bigger, you know, when you see it in a bigger context. That's what you want to be able to do. Work on your synthesis ability. Analysis has its distinct limitations. Quoting sentences out of the book until you're blue in the face is not going to get you very far. And, yeah, and you maybe never thought that you were being analytical when you did that, but you are.
Yeah.
You've been trained by, you know, in post-enlightenment, you know, age to be analytical like that since, you know, you were in grade school. You need to challenge yourself to go beyond such an analytic fixation, you know, on quoting, you know, and memorizing verbatim sequence of words, You need to get up above that and start to synthesize. All right, let's take a moment here.